Coach Green, you know, he was the one thing he did not want to do, and every man ever coached by him professionally would know this. He didn't want to take any money from you. He didn't fine. Coach Green was not about fining. You know, one thing he'll tell you, he said, I'll cut you, but I won't fine you. So that really sent volume, you know, spoke volumes about him as a man, that you work hard for your money. I'm not here to take it, but when you're here with me, we're going to work.
That is one of the greatest wide receivers to ever play the game, Randy Moss, who played for Dennis Green up in Minnesota. Denny Green passed away earlier this week, 67 years old, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, famous for the meltdown. The Bears are who we thought they were. But Denny Green, he was the second African-American head coach in the history of the NFL after Art Shell with the Oakland Raiders. And people locally should remember Denny Green. I mean, I was 10 years old in the Northwestern Wildcats, who were 20 minutes from my house growing up, were on a 34-game losing streak, the longest ever in Division I. They were outscored in 1981, 505-82, and then they finally ended it by beating Northern Illinois 31-6, and Denny Green was the head coach of that team. Chris Hinton was an outstanding offensive lineman for that team, who, of course, was drafted in the NFL and famously traded for John Elway. And now joining us on WGN for as we give a little...
That's all they got back?
I know.
Should have got two Elways.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Chris, we appreciate you taking time. And, hey, I mean, it ain't like you were chopped liver. I mean, seven Pro Bowls, six with Indianapolis. I mean, most times you make a trade, you're going to get a seven-time Pro Bowler, six with the club trading them. That's not too bad. So you had a phenomenal career yourself. What's your number one memories of Denny Green? Because you were a Wildcat in 79, so Denny came in the middle of your career, and you guys were in a massive losing streak, and here's this guy, Dennis Green, who's going to try to turn it around.
Right. Well, personally, I've got tons of history with Denny. I don't know how much time you guys have, but...
Till seven.
I mean, I mean, there are some great stories. One was when he came in 81 and me going into my junior year and being in the middle of one of the longest losing streaks in the history of college football, he had to change the whole thought process, the whole culture at Northwestern. And, I mean, that which was a monumental task, especially for a 31-year-old. People forget that, I mean, Denny was 31 when he became the head coach in Northwestern.
Wow.
But I think one of the things that sticks out in my mind personally was, you know, to be honest with you, I got caught up in that whole losing mentality and didn't take the game serious and I came in for camp my junior year, and we had to run the mile running. And needless to say, I didn't do well. And he sent me home. And I was surprised, and so was the rest of the team, because I was considered one of the better players on the team. And for him to send me home, and when I did come back, I sat down with him, and I'll never forget – sat down, looked at him, you know, across the table and the desk, and he said, you become part of the problem, and you're wasting your time here. I can help you transfer. I'm good friends with John Robinson at SC, and I can help you transfer and where you would understand what it's like to be a winner. And it just blew me away. I was like, okay, I'm good. I like Northwestern. It's close to home. I want to stay. And so it was basically him being a motivator. You know, people say, oh, you know, was he a father figure to you? And I immediately say, no, he was a coach. He was a guy who motivated, inspired, led. And I mean, he definitely changed. I mean, I would say, with me, not only myself, but just generations from this point on. I mean, he was that big of a factor in my life.
Chris, you had him as a head coach when he was at Northwestern, when you played for the Wildcats. But when I think of Denny Green big picture, I think of a pioneer for black men to be head coaches in the NFL, because you know, he was one of the first ones, and he did it with a lot of success, that 98 season with the Vikings, one of the best of all time. But he opened the door for a lot of people to get to places that maybe they couldn't have gotten to 10, 20 years earlier.
No question about it. And you look at his staff, and when I played, because I was fortunate to play for him professionally with the Vikings, and I mean the likes of Tony Dungy, and I mean people that he reached back to pull up, and I mean not that Tony needed to be pulled up, but just the idea of him understanding that. He stood on some shoulders, and he wanted to make sure that other guys got opportunities, because people don't realize that he was, you know, the first African-American head coach in the Big Ten, first in the Pac-10 at Stanford, and then again, I believe he was the second in the NFL. And so he was definitely a trailblazer, and I was fortunate to cross paths with him.
Art Shell, the first – coach, and yeah, then with Denny Green.
With the Raiders.
Chris Hinton was the first, and Denny was the second.
And Art was in a terrible situation with the Raiders. It was hard to win football games there, so just Denny having the success that he did was huge. And Chris Hinton's with us, 7-time Pro Bowler, 3-time All-Pro with the Colts and Falcons, and then caught up with Denny back in the NFL with the Minnesota Vikings. What you just said, Chris, about your story with Denny as far as, hey, I'll help you transfer to USC. What's cool about that to me is you're considered probably the best player on the team, but he's trying to look out for you and not look out for himself. That's huge.
Yeah, and I think he was making a statement. He was like, if you want to stay, you got to buy in. If not, I can help you so you can see what it's like. And me deciding to stay, and that following year, we sat down and he said, I'm going to move you to offensive line. I'd never played offensive line in my whole football, short career. But he moved me as a senior. And he said, he looked me in the eye and said, hey, you can be a first-round pick, which, I didn't believe him. I bought in.
That's okay. I mean, I should have known that, Chris. I didn't know that you were playing on the D line and then flipped over. Now, I was a 9-year-old. I could have done better. That's interesting.
The fact that that's one of his strong traits was that he was able to evaluate talent and project talent. And he did that with the Vikings. He did that in recruiting. He did that with guys on the team. And for me, I played tight end. I played linebacker. I was on the D-line at some. And my senior year, he honestly sat down and told me, I'm going to move you to offensive line, and I know the direction. And this was a whole blindside thing that was going on at the time, in that NFL teams are looking for more athletic tackles. And he knew that from his time being with the 49ers and having experience in the NFL. And he told me, I'm going to move you. You can be a first-round pick, which I didn't believe him. I thought he was phasing me out, as new coaches do sometimes with players that – played for previous coaches, but I went from, I played offensive line 1 year and was the fourth player chosen, the first offensive lineman chosen, and that was his vision. And like I said, it was just me buying in to a guy who had the vision, and he was a great offensive mind.
So Denny made you a lot of dough.
Yeah, that's true. Chris, I want to ask you about your alma mater, not collegiately, at the high school level. I'm sure you're well aware, Phillips finally brought home that state title this past fall. Great high school.
Right.
Have you been back to Pershing and King Drive anytime?
I haven't been back recently, but very aware of what was going on, and very proud of the fact that I mean, that's a situation that it's come a long way. I mean, there's a lot of history, and to be able to accomplish that was awesome.
I did have to ask as well, what was Brett Favre like as a rookie in Atlanta? Because you guys were teammates with the Falcons in the 90s, early 90s.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I know that sometimes the Falcon front office has gotten some bad a bad rep for trading him. But I thought that they overreached and got a first-round pick for him. I would have been happy with the fifth-round pick for him. I mean, the wow. guy was he was not the Brett Favre that we all know.
He
of
was
today.
Reckless, right? He didn't care.
The dude was just. I mean, he was the only guy that knew that he was good.
It's a good way to put it.
Well, it's yeah. I guess sometimes that's all that matters. If you have that confidence, that swag, I don't care what you see Chris hitting, I'm going to go dominate up in Green Bay. Fifth round pick, first round pick. They should trade three first rounders for me.
I'm going to throw it hard. I don't know who I'm throwing it to, but I'm going to throw it hard at him.
Exactly. I'll never forget. I mean, as a rookie, and at that time, I think I was in my eighth or ninth year, and had gotten, had, you know, seven Pro Bowls, and he comes up to me and he said, "Hey, I don't know why I'm not starting. I've got the strongest. I've got the best arm in the NFL." And I looked at him like he had four eyes. So, like I said, he knew something that I didn't know, or a lot of people didn't know.
If they're redrafting the 1983 draft, where you went. Fourth overall of the Broncos, and then traded to the Colts for John Elway. You had Elway. And this draft is just ridiculous. I mean, Jimbo Covert, Hall of Famer, Eric Dickerson is in this draft. Jim Kelly, Tony Eason, the Bears. By the way, for Bears fans, that was Willie Gault, who I, by the way, did win a Super Bowl here. And then you had Dan Marino, 27th. To the Miami Dolphins. If Chris Hinton's drafting and you're going to play with one of those two for his career, Marino or Elway, who you taking?
Wow. I'm a Marino guy. I mean, he's a guy who hit the ground running. And people don't realize that Elway struggled, I mean, early on. And Dan, I mean, he hit the ground running. But, you know, that's six one way, half dozen the other, and both phenomenal quarterbacks.
Yeah. I just don't think – I'm with you. I don't think Marino gets the respect that he deserves, because he never won the big one. But the guy was ridiculous and never had a running attack. So just want to get that out there.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. The running game was subpar, and, you know, defense was average at best. And it just shows you what a running game and a defense can do for you. You know, when Elway had those pieces in place, and you always look at, like, Super Bowl, you look at the stats for the quarterback. All right, the winning quarterback, 200 yards passing, you know, 250 yards passing, and it's not like the Mondo 400 yard passing games. It's a running game and the defense that wins championships.
Hey Chris, before you go, you said you had a ton of stories. Any Denny Green story as we honor 67-year-old Denny Green, passed away earlier this week. Any story you want to tell before you head on out of here?
Probably just I mean, he had tons of quotes, but he always said, "Plan your work and work your plan." I mean, and it's, you know, simple play, but that was him. And He was a good dude.
Plan your work and work your plan.
Work your plan.
That's called, and dream it big, baby. That's what I'm.
That's it.
Yeah. I'm moving you to offensive line. You're going to be a Pro Bowler.
And you make a lot of money.
And you're going to have a lot of dough. And your life's going to be completely better than you could ever imagine. That's awesome. Hey, congrats on your success playing in the league and everything else, Chris. I know you got vineyards now. According to Wikipedia, you're a wine guy.
Yeah, I'm a wine guy. I've got retail shops here in Atlanta and in the suburb, north suburb of Atlanta. Been doing that for 17 years, and my heart is always, will be, still is, and I'm a Chicagoan.
So you're more a wine guy than you are football as far as, you know, tenure, right?
Yeah, you know, 17 versus 13.
And oh, it's close.
But, you know, about 5 years after having the store, I was at the grocery store, and I ran into a woman who was a customer. She, you know, she comes up to me. She says, you're – I was like, yeah, I'm Chris Henn. I play for the Falcons. And she was like, no, you're the wine guy. So, you know, I'll never forget it. It was that moment where I realized that I've moved on.
You're somebody different in everybody's eyes, Chris. You know that.
So right. you wake up on a Saturday morning, you pop open a vino, and you dial up a little Pat Fitzgerald and watch your alma mater go at it. That's the vision that I have for you.
That's it. Go Cats.
All right. Hey, Chris, thanks for taking time. Appreciate you honoring Denny.
All right, you guys. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.